Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
His name was Jeremy. He was on WordPress with a passion for youth sports and some free time on his hands. That SB Nation, they came a-calling. Despite trying to perfect his art, he knew something wasn't right. Then Chris came writing on and started poking fun. They decided to start a podcast, and who could ask for more at the Mountain? Mountain West Connection. Just be sure you don't ever skip this section here at the Mountain. Mountain West Connection. Recaps and previews, such stats, and just random at the Mountain.
Welcome back to the Mountain West Connection podcast. Jeremy here, hanging out with Chris.
What's up, guys?
What's up? Chris is back. As always, you can join us to read our pixelated version of the show at mwcconnection.com. Twitter, MWC Connection, Facebook, Mountain West Connection. Mixing it up there a little bit. We're all over the place, but this show, bowl season.
It's
the most wonderful time of the year. I'm not going to attempt to sing. We're discussing the, should I give the full sponsor name to give them credit since we get nothing in return?
Yeah, pretty much.
The San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl. Mm-hmm. Northern Illinois versus Utah State. Probably the number two non-BCS bowl game, or non-automatic qualifier bowl game. Does that sound about right?
It's pretty much awesome is what it is. And so, I mean, yes, it's the SDCCU Poinsettia Bowl, but so, we've a riveting matchup. We've got Northern Illinois, we've got Utah State. Heisman finalist Jordan Lynch. Against non-Heisman finalist, everybody on Utah State team.
Yes, that is correct. And we're gonna have Brian Vance on from HustleBelt.com, all things Maction, Northern Illinois, Jordan Lynch Award website as well. Apparently that's going on, that's a thing now. But we will be talking with him about the game. The only game, and Chris, we've already done the interview, so Chris has always asked his off-the-wall questions, and he did ask permission this time.
Just off the wall. I think they were perfectly
The first one where I stop the press and say, Brian, hold on a second. Chris has a question he wants to ask me that's off the wall.
Well, okay, that one was the most off-topic one.
No, it was a good show. We talked about everything for Maction, Jordan Lynch, talked about the Heisman, the Derek Carr, how A.J. McCarron got the Lifetime Achievement Award and for second place. Yeah, is there anything about the game? Because we should. Well, let's just get the interview now, and we will wrap up our thoughts about the game momentarily. All right, and now for our guest portion of the show, we are bringing in Brian Vance from HustleBelt.com to help us talk about, which a lot of people should know about a bit, Northern Illinois for the Poinsettia Bowl against Utah State. So, what's going on, man?
How's it going, guys?
We're doing good, doing well. Bowl season is here.
Yeah, I know. It's exciting. It's I mean, it's a little bit sad because it's, you know, the end of college football season, but it's still fun because games practically every single day.
Yeah, starting Saturday.
What's sad for you is you can't come down here to San Diego.
Yeah, that would be nice, but I'll be stuck in cold Ohio just watching them on TV. So
yeah, the triple header. The only thing I hate about it, all the Mountain West games, the first three and right smushed to each other. It's like, thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, I'm sure that makes your job incredibly tough.
Yeah, it does. Crap. Sorry. Stupid ESPN with their auto video play. No, crap, beat me up again. I shouldn't be going to their website ever. But yeah, the triple header, I'm like, what should we focus on? Because we should do a lot of stuff, but we'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. We're talking Poinsettia Bowl. Our focus is toward that tonight and nothing else. And, well, let's just start with this. So, with the, obviously, Northern Illinois lost the title game against Bowling Green. Kind of was beat a bit more than expected because it wasn't really all that close for the most part once Bowling Green got ahead. Start off with there. Kind of what happened in that game? What was your observation of why they couldn't get it done?
I mean, they just ran into a defensive wall. Bowling Green is hands down the toughest defense Northern Illinois faced all season, and Northern Illinois really didn't have an answer for it. I mean, they kind of stopped Jordan Lynch in the beginning, and when Jordan Lynch can't do what he does best, the rest of the offense suffers because it really is a one-man show for NIU for the most part.
Yes, that's what, sorry. I took a drink. God, this is going so well. Everybody can just ignore that part there, though. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, watching him, he's so it's safe to say if he something happens to him, there's not a chance he'd win at all. Which is assuming why he was voted in the Heisman where he was and player there and all sorts of stuff outside of him being a great player. Is it safe to say he is essentially the team? If he goes well, they do well. If not, like we saw in Bowling Green, not very good.
Yeah, I mean, Northern Illinois fans don't like to hear that, but it's definitely the truth. You look at the Florida State game last year, he struggled mightily and the team struggled. And then same thing with Bowling Green. When he plays bad, the team seems to play bad. And that's what happens when one guy produces so much of your offensive output. You know, if he's not on, the whole team suffers.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you do have Jordan Lynch. And we obviously know where he finished in the Heisman. He finished third in the placing behind A.J. McCarron's.
Yeah.
The guy gets an award for handing the ball off to either T.J. Yeldon or, you know.
Who else?
you know, guys from last year. Got a Lifetime Achievement Award for that.
It's a joke.
Heisman. And obviously, Jameis Winston, who is a fantastic quarterback. Who else should Utah State worry about both on the offensive side of the ball or the defensive side of the ball? I mean, we're talking about key players here. Who should they be worried about when it comes to this Northern Illinois team?
Well, defensively, it's Jimmy Ward, the senior safety for the Huskies. He was a first-team USA Today All-American. The guy is like top five in the country in interceptions, top five in passes defended. He can hit. He can cover. He's just an absolute nightmare out there on defense. And then on offense, you know, guys besides Jordan Lynch would be Cameron Stingley, the big running back they have. I think he's like 6'3", 240, and he can move. I mean, when that guy gets some momentum going, it's pretty hard to tackle him. And he provides a really good, you know, backup punch to Jordan Lynch out there in the backfield.
So when they go up against Utah State, their defense, I think it's kind of clear. I think Utah State's defense is a bit better than Bowling Green. So what's your first thoughts when you go up against, especially that linebacking crew that has probably the best out west, even better than most in the Pac-12?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be really tough for Jordan Lynch to move around against Utah State's defense. And so he's really going to have to try and, you know, beat Utah State with his arm. And considering how banged up his receivers were there at the end of the regular season, it really all comes down to whether or not they can get those guys healthy. So if you know, Tommy Lee Lewis, their slot, and De'Ron Brown, their number one receiver, can be fully healthy and ready to go, you know, then maybe they can open up the passing game a bit and try and spread things out. Because if not, Jordan Lynch isn't going to be able to do it all with his legs in that game.
Did you happen to catch any of the Mountain West title game at all a little bit?
I caught the very end of it when Carr was putting on the championship belt. So. Okay.
Oh, that's great, because there's this guy, I forget his name, I think he had the two interceptions. Chris, is that the right guy? Who stuck Devontae Adams like 5'7" and just stuffed him for the first half?
Yeah.
Brandon Stewart, I think his name was. This guy's like 5'0", goes up against Devontae Adams and pretty much shuts him down almost the first half. It was just curious, because he's a tiny guy, but geez,
it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
That is insane.
Curious if you saw that at all, because that was a match. But, God, throw it high. This little guy jumps up and knocks the ball out of his hand more than once. But
yeah, no, I didn't see that. But that sounds like that's definitely going to be a challenge then.
Yeah, he was better. I didn't think Utah State secondary is that good, because they had a huge competition in fall camp, and they got thrown on quite a bit. They just kind of had some upperclassmen but not played a lot, and it just kind of seemed so-so. But that guy really stepped it up, and so he's kind of a guy to watch. But let's kind of go to the defense really quick, because we're not going to – well, we'll get to the offense again, but like, it was on defense, because obviously the MAC defense is optional for the most part. What do you think is there? Because Utah State's offense isn't all that special, so what does kind of Northern Illinois bring to the table for their defense to try to stop Utah State?
Well, Northern Illinois' secondary is kind of woeful, to say the least. They give up a ton of yardage, but what Northern Illinois is really good at doing is slowing down the running game and just limiting points. They're really like a bend-but-not-break kind of defense. I think they were top three in the MAC in scoring defense, and that was just behind Bowling Green and Buffalo. And they allowed something around like 22 points a game on the season. despite the fact that they were giving up a lot of yardage. And I mean, you look at a game like their game against Akron, they gave up a ridiculous amount of yards through the air, but you just couldn't move the ball on the ground against them. And so that's what really works for NIU, is they kind of make them, they make opposing offenses one dimensional. And then you have a guy like Jimmy Ward back there who just, you know, comes up with big interception after big interception and just kind of kills the momentum for the opposing offense.
So if I'm playing NCAA 14 right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm setting up, you know, my I'm playing as NIU and I'm setting up my offensive scheme. Who else? Okay, we got Jordan Lynch. The way the offense plays, is there anybody else maybe kind of underlooked who I would be threatening to use in a game versus Utah State?
Oh yeah, definitely. Tommy Lee Lewis, the slot that I mentioned earlier, he's a real big part of Jordan Lynch's success. You know, the guy can practically line up anywhere on the field and, you know, just really causes, you know, matchup problems. He's not the biggest guy, but he's lightning quick. He has great vision, great agility. I think he was third on the team in rushing, and that's behind a pair of, you know, Jordan Lynch is at almost 2,000 yards rushing. Cameron Stingley's at over 1,000. And, you know, Tommy Lee Lewis, who I think only had like 20 or 30 carries on the season, was, you know, putting up some pretty good numbers for a guy who's only like 5'9". And then, you know, he's just got really good hands. I mean, like I said, he has great vision, great agility, so he can weave his way through traffic. And then, you know, if he gets his hands on a ball, he's definitely a home run hitter. So that's someone that, you know, Utah State's defense is going to have to pay a lot of attention to.
And then back on the defense again, is there anybody, for the other side, is there anybody that scares you on Utah State's offense?
I mean, not really. I mean, when I look at Utah State, I see them mostly as, you know, just kind of a defensive team that, you know, kind of just wills their way to victory against, you know, opponents. I mean, it's not like I've really watched Utah State play this season, but yeah, I mean, the time difference makes it pretty hard for someone out here on the East Coast to watch them. But I mean, you know, Chucky Keaton before he got hurt was obviously someone that was dangerous, but without him, I mean, there wouldn't really be anybody that I would say that has caught, at least they haven't caught my attention as someone that, you know, Husky fans need to be afraid of on offense or on defense.
Hey, that's fair, because I was disappointed. I was at that Chucky Keaton game, we got hurt. I was like, no. Yeah, I was right on the sideline. I'm like, oh, crap. Seeing him get tackled, take it down, I'm like, oh, geez, this is not good.
Yeah, that definitely would have killed most seasons. So it's actually impressive that the team was able to, you know, hang on and get to 8 wins on the year despite that.
Yeah, they're quietly kept winning. Like, oh, we got a chance. Boise State's not going to lose. And then what do you know? But yeah, they got Daryl Garrettson, a quarterback. He's a true freshman. He's doing okay. He's nothing spectacular. And he got that concussion. He said he's going to play. And, oh, Chris asked me a question in chat. Let's go with that. Yes, you can ask your ridiculous question, Chris.
Yes. Okay, because I wasn't sure how far we were in the preview or not.
Yeah, we're good. We're just going to wing it. We'll talk about everything. We'll mix and match and keep Brian on his toes.
All right, well, this is really going to keep you on your toes. So, this was an absolutely ridiculous rumor out of Wyoming when they hired Craig Bohl, saying that Wyoming was going to, you know, Craig Bohl was basically going to take Wyoming into the Big 12.
Okay.
It's absolutely like Twitter started a rumor.
Yeah.
It was funny because people were asking me, they were like, is there any fact behind this? I said, not as far as I know.
How did that get any legs in the first place, man?
Yeah. I have no clue, but whatever it was, I want some of it. my ridiculous question pertaining exactly to this is, you start either a Twitter rumor or a rumor starts going around that Northern Illinois is going to leave the MAC for a bigger conference. What conference would you be going to? And secondly, is there any potential that there would be any fact to that rumor?
Oh, I mean, that's an easy one. It's actually something that Husky fans have been talking about since before they rejoined the MAC.
SEC, right?
No. The Big 12, though, actually, is the one that they've, you know, and it's something that the athletic department there at NIU hasn't been shy about. When they first rejoined the MAC in the mid-90s, I think, that was actually their plan. It was to go from an independent to, you know, to the MAC, build up their program, and then use the MAC as a stepping stone to get into the Big 12. That didn't work out, and it's not going to work out, because if you look at NIU's basketball team, there's no way that the Big 12 would want to take a school that plays that poorly on
TCU,
the hardwood.
TCU, man. They took TCU.
But, I mean, Northern Illinois managed to like, set the record for the fewest points scored in a half last year.
Yeah, I've actually have heard that every now and then where the Big 12 and the MAC or Mount Northern Illinois is trying to sneak their way in. I think the last time I heard it, probably after Michael Turner was there and then a couple years ago. That's probably it, right? When it keeps popping up every so often.
Yeah, that would definitely be about the time.
But it's obviously never going to happen, even with 10 teams,
right? No. Northern Illinois doesn't have the facilities. They don't have the following. I mean, despite Northern Illinois' success on the field, they're not top in the MAC in attendance. And it's kind of mind-boggling just because, you know, they haven't lost at home in, I think, 25 games now, but yet they still have trouble selling out Husky Stadium, which only holds about, I think, 25 or 26,000 people anyway. But, I mean, they don't have the infrastructure there to be able to compete in a major, you know, BCS-level conference. I'm not saying that they would get beat up on, but they're just not attractive to a conference, even like the Big 12.
How close are they to Chicago, then?
I think DeKalb's like 25 minutes outside of Chicago, 25 or 30.
Closer than Notre Dame, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Chicago's football team.
Is it a different state?
that's one of those great things about Chicago.
All right, so with let's kind of get back on track of here, kind of to the bowl game again. Well, actually, no, I want to go to the Heisman thing really quick. Well, like I said, we bounced around. If you heard our show, it is the other name is Off Topic, as we talk about whatever.
Okay.
And as I'm doing that right now, I see somebody having a. I'll discuss this later. I'll talk. It's just something on Twitter that popped up. A hilarious photo that came my way. But with the Heisman voting, we all laughed. AJ McCarron. You see how Jordan Lynch ended up getting third, which I kind of thought might have been not that it's too high, but kind of what other guys were doing. From a guy who's not in the area, just looking at stats, I know Derek Carr would never win. How does he not get invited? And also, I looked at the voting. He doesn't even get in the top five in the far west. How does that happen? From somebody who kind of knows what he does, but doesn't maybe not watch him a ton.
Yeah, I honestly have no clue because I was actually just talking about Derek Carr with someone the other day. They were just like looking through stats and they were looking at like touchdown to interception ratios and they saw his and they're like, is this for real? And, you know, and when you see just the numbers that he's put up and you keep hearing that, you know, he could possibly be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, it makes no sense to me how he finished, what was it, eighth in the Heisman voting?
Yeah, he finished eighth. Being behind Bryce Petty's whatever, that's okay. Petty does a lot, but I'm like, he basically doubled AJ McCarron, and he played he played the same games, but if he played that game for Colorado, he could have had 5,000 yards, 51 touchdowns easily.
That is confusing to me, and I think that's definitely a bit of an East Coast bias thing, you know, that Derek Carr plays out in the West, plays so late, and then also plays for, you know, a non BCS school, so doesn't get as much attention. But I mean, it's just ridiculous. If these awards are really meant to honor the, you know, the player who, you know, excels the most on and off the football field, then I don't understand how you can continually leave guys that do what, you know, Derek Carr and what Jordan Lynch do for their teams, you know, off. Because it wouldn't have mattered if Jordan Lynch already had 2,000 rushing yards and 2,000 passing yards by the time the Heisman voting around, and if Jameis Winston had went to jail, he still wouldn't have won. Like he'd have finished second. But I mean, in reality, guys like Derek Carr and Jordan Lynch have no shot at winning. We debate whether or not they even have a shot at going to New York, and Derek Carr didn't even get a chance to go, and that's pathetic, and that's really sad because it just shows that the award isn't given to the most outstanding player in college football. It's given to the most popular player on the hottest team at the time. Yeah. So
I have no issue with Winston winning. He's fine.
He had amazing stats, yeah. But
Trey Mason gets there for what he did in one game, maybe two games, really. Come on.
Yeah.
He had 25%, real quick, Chris, before you chop it, 25% of his yards were in the final two games.
Yeah, I mean, and then you look at, like, well, Jordan Lynch, before the Bowling Green game, was probably going to finish second, and then the Bowling Green game happens, and he, you know, drops to third and was, you know, fairly far behind A.J. McCarron. So it's just, it's ridiculous how, you know, selective the memory of the voters can be.
But I have to ask because I assume that you also filled out your all SB Nation college football team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I don't know if that's come out yet.
Not yet.
No, it hasn't. Oh, okay, just out of curiosity, and the people who listen will probably, you know, ruin the moment, but who did you yourself vote for as the best player and then as the best quarterback?
As the best player, I actually voted for Khalil Mack, the linebacker out of Buffalo. I just think what that guy's
Homer.
I just think what that guy's done is amazing. I mean, he's broken, you know, multiple NCAA records this season. And he's just, I mean, he's a machine. I've seen him in person. I've met him in person. He's huge. He's a freakish athlete. For best quarterback, I'm not going to lie, I did vote for Jordan Lynch. Again, another homer pick. But, I could have thrown that easily to Derek Carr and wouldn't have felt bad. I just felt like I owed it to the Mack guy to give him a little nod.
Yeah, was that the only Mack guy you put on the first team All-American?
Who, Khalil Mack?
Yeah.
Yeah, that I can remember. I might have had Jimmy Ward too, but the safety from NIU. But
all right, so Chris, let's just go around and say, Chris, who did you put for Player of the Year and quarterback then?
All right, I put Jameis Winston and Derek Carr. So I did have the homer pick as the quarterback.
I did the same as Chris, but I looked through a lot. Like I made sure I had same as Chris, which is it's fine and. Because there's so few of our votes in our account, we know who's going to win most of the awards, like first team and all that stuff, and position. So a few votes here and there. They're going to do, first, second, third team, I think. So it'll be enough who voted in there. But I put a linebacker from Buffalo. There's this guy from Florida Atlantic, defensive back. I think I put the guy from Pitt that was Donald Brown as a defensive player of the year, just because how monsters overall he kind of had a season. I thought he was pretty good. But this guy from FAU had, like, I'm going to pull it up right now. I put him as the first-team All-American defensive back because I go by stats. We don't see enough games. I'm looking through. He had – I'm trying to find it really quick. What do you have, 8 interceptions? What do you have here? No, DeJuan Smith. He had 7 picks. We had like 10 pass breakups or something.
Oh, wow.
Something like 13 pass breakups and 7 picks. I'm like, hey, he's my All-American at quarterback, whatever it was. So I'm like, I look through stuff. But you got to kind of find different guys because everybody's like, oh, let's put – like, I didn't put Jadeveon Clowney anywhere because he's not deserving this year. He didn't have a great year, so.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't on any of my spots that I filled out, so.
Yeah, I forgot about that, Chris. Thanks for bringing it up because I remember it took forever. So many names on there. I filled out every spot, every single spot I filled out.
Yeah, every single spot in there.
You filled out, like, Coach of the Year for every conference, too?
I filled out everything, yes.
Conference.
No, when it got down to like Sunbelt stuff, yeah, I was just like, nope, I'm not doing this.
Brian Hurston, I think I put it for Sunbelt, the cop player, the year conference player. I know I did every category at least something. I don't know if I'm pretty sure I filled everything, maybe except for one or two. I don't know, but cause I remember my computer's being weird and I just filled it out like that. So let's get back to the bowl game. Enough more off topic stuff. Let's kind of do more bowl stuff, I guess. So with the game. Is there any letdown in the game because they win? They are going to Fiesta Bowl to play Oklahoma State, right? They won the Big 12. Am I correct on that? Baylor? Baylor. Yes, I forget. Oklahoma State lost. Let's just go simple, same question. Is there going to be a letdown, you think, playing Utah State over in the Fiesta Bowl?
I mean, it's hard to tell. I think this team's a lot more mature than most teams in the MAC, so I think they'd be the least likely team out of all teams in the MAC to do that. But everyone's human, and, you know, they had those expectations built up in their mind, and, you know, in one night they were erased. And, you know, guys like Jordan Lynch, Jimmy Ward, those guys are seniors, and that would have been, you know, their redeeming moment, a chance to shut up everybody who, you know, said that they couldn't compete with the big boys last year. And, you know, now they're going to, you know, just a regular mid-major bowl game. So there's definitely a chance that there could be a letdown. I don't think it'll happen. I think the team definitely is where it is, you know, with the 12-win season because of how mature it is and that they take things seriously, but anything's possible.
Is this possibly the best matchup they could have had? Because look at Bowling Green. They're playing in the Little Caesar Bowl in Detroit. Is this the best matchup outside of maybe playing Fresno State they could have asked for?
Oh, yeah, definitely. This is easily the best matchup they could have had. And it was really cool to see that the MAC placed them outside of one of the, you know, regular tie-in bowl games. Because I think normally they would have went to the GoDaddy Bowl in Mobile and played Arkansas State, I think, is who Ball State's playing in that one. So, I mean, this was definitely the best matchup. I know that there were some wheelings and dealings going on behind the scenes, and there was some talk of maybe a Fresno State NIU matchup, and that would have been ideal. But, you know, Utah State is definitely a great matchup, and especially with, you know, the defense that Utah State brings to the table.
All right, so the trip to the San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl, the gift swag that it includes is that the players get a Best Buy gift card, a watch, Maui Jim sunglasses gift certificate, I'd be down with that, and a cap and a hat.
Yeah.
In addition, I think one team goes to SeaWorld and the other team goes to the San Diego Zoo.
They all do that trip stuff, yeah.
Hey, dude, I love both of those places. I have to ask, A, is this good swag? B, which player on the Northern Illinois team would be most likely pictured absolutely terrified of a killer whale jumping over him?
Or doing it in the Gomican Sioux from Nebraska. Didn't he, like, give the whale a big hug or something?
Yeah. Or having, like, one of the birds of prey, like, perched on his shoulder at the San Diego Zoo.
Man, so part A, yeah, I think it's a pretty good, gift bag thing. I mean, the Best Buy gift card is definitely nice because it lets you pick what you want. I'm not too sure.
$200 Best Buy gift card. That's nice.
Yeah, and I mean, it's definitely better than some of the other.
Have you seen what the Pinstripe Bowl is giving out?
No, what are they?
It's the New Era Pinstripe Bowl. You get $550 of New Era product. It's like, how many more sweats and caps do I need?
Well, I mean, hey, some people have some real addictions to those things, so.
But compared to, like, the Military Bowl gets a PS4, or, like, the Vegas Bowl gets a Galaxy Tab, it's like, come on.
Ohio's going to the Beef O'Brady's Bowl, and they get a Galaxy Tab and some other things. And then, like, the Little Caesars Pizza Bowl is giving out luggage, because I guess they just want you to be able to get all your stuff and get out of Detroit as quick as possible.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, I definitely think that, you know, what you're getting at the Poinsettia Bowl is good. But as to the other one, I have absolutely no clue. I mean, I think Cameron Stingley's an interesting character. He earlier this season, he ran for a career high, like 200 and something yards in a game. The very next day, got arrested and then was let out on bond. And then the very next day after that was, like, named MAC Player of the Week. And so he just, like, and just, you know, some stories I've heard just from, you know, him around campus, he seems like he's a very interesting character. So I could see him doing something weird at SeaWorld, but I'm not sure if he'd be, like, afraid of one of the animals or would just want to run up and, you know, like you said, take a picture with a killer whale. But he would definitely be a guy that I'd want to, you know, strap a GoPro to and just, you know, let him wander around and see what happens.
Excellent. So, let's do more game stuff, because that's why I do when Chris goes off the rails a little bit with some interesting questions.
But, totally related to the Poinsettia Bowl.
Hey, it's fine. It is related. Oh, it's fine. It's perfectly. People know what we're expecting when they tune into this, so they'll get some good talk, football talk, and some random nonsense about whatever. But let's just a few players, like who's like one or two guys who it's like, who is this guy, like who you might think could have a big game, whatever, just random guy, under the radar guy. The kicker, the holder, or something. Who's like a guy who might just come out and kind of surprise everybody that people don't really know about?
Oh, well, actually, it is. One of them would be the kicker, Matthew Sam. He struggled.
Yes.
I mean, there at the end of weeknight action, he was awful. I mean, there's a gif going around of him, like, sitting on a bench alone with his head down after he'd missed, like, his third field goal in one game. And there's a quote from Rod Carey, like, saying that he's a kicker, he'll figure it out, that he doesn't talk to kickers or whatever. And, you know, I mean, he just, like, then the thing was, before that, you know, those games there in November, he was lights out. I mean, he rarely missed anything, and then he just hit a dry spell. And then, you know, he did fairly well in the MAC championship game. So I definitely think that he'll be someone for Husky fans to be paying attention to, because he has the leg, he has the confidence. It's just whether or not he's regained, you know, the confidence that used to be there. And then Daron Brown, the number one receiver for Jordan Lynch, is definitely someone to keep an eye on. He's been banged up a lot down the stretch, but the guy is pretty clutch. I mean, he has 9 touchdowns on the season. He averages something like 16 or 17 yards a catch. So he's definitely, you know, a home run threat for Jordan Lynch. Someone that if he can get hot and you know, catch a few balls, can definitely, you know, wind up finding himself as a candidate for, you know, like a player of the game type award or something.
All right, so let's go ahead. And since we're talking about kickers and
Seamus, your boy Seamus from Aztecs.
Seamus McMorrow from San Diego State. So we're talking about kickers. We obviously have to be talking about final scores coming down here soon. So let's go ahead and get a game prediction. Is this going to stay close? Is this going to be, or is Northern Illinois going to run away with this? Or is Utah State going to surprise everybody?
Or are they going to be too fat from Christmas eating whatever to show up?
Yeah, just like the Christmas hangover and nobody can move.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. I mean, I definitely like Utah State's defense and think that it's going to give NIU some fits. Now, granted, anytime you have a month to prepare for someone, or about a month, you know, it kind of nullifies everything that we've seen as fans, because you could come out with a whole different scheme. I think this is going to be one of the more competitive bowl games that we see from a mid-major standpoint, though. I think it stays close until the very end, and then I think I'm not really sure who's going to win, but if it is Northern Illinois, I think they win, you know, on a pair of touchdowns in the final 5 minutes. If it's Utah State, I think it's just that, you know, Jordan Lynch gets shut down and they squeak out, you know, one score win. So it's definitely going to be close in my mind.
So how does – we talked about Jordan Lynch a lot because he's a key player. How does Utah State – what do they need to do to shut him down? Do what Bowling Green did, or just have their linebackers just swarm and not let him get out of the – pocket? Because I saw that one game, it was the first midweek game where they started to play some better opponents. He's about to get tackled on like third down. He does some spin move and gets out of there and goes for 20 yards or something.
Yeah, to Jonathan Newsom, who's actually a legit defensive end. He played at Ohio State for a couple years before he left and transferred to Ball State. So, I mean, that guy's a real defensive end that Jordan Lynch just flung around like a rag doll. So it's really hard. I mean, I think what Bowling Green really did is they just kind of attacked him from all over. They attacked from, you know, every front. They made it hard for him to get receivers. It was incredibly hard for him to run it up the middle just because it seemed like he was constantly getting smacked. He's the thing about Jordan Lynch, and I was talking about this with someone else, I don't think he's the most gifted runner out of, you know, every running quarterback that we've seen. I definitely think that guys like Denard Robinson were better than him, even though Jordan Lynch has better stats. But I think what Jordan Lynch does is that he runs so hard. I mean, if you ever watch him play, he will never duck out of bounds. I don't think I've ever seen him take a slide. He hits you like a linebacker. He runs straight at you. He lowers his shoulder, and he just plows right into you. So, you know, to stop a guy like that, it's kind of hard, because you've got to swarm him. You've got to basically limit his options and force him to go straight up the gut and then just – pile on him and slow him down. So I think for Utah State, it's definitely to keep the linebackers on him, to just, you know, put someone maybe on a QB spy to just kind of follow him around and just hit him in the hole every single time that he tries to run it up the middle, or, you know, sprint outside the edge of the tackle or something. Just someone who's constantly on him.
Yeah, so we got all these coaching rumors, some positions that haven't been filled up yet. We have a very big position that just opened up.
Which one's that? Texas.
Of course. Which one's that?
I have no clue which one that is. I don't know. There's, you know. So is Rod Carey going anywhere, or is he staying?
No, yeah, Rod Carey's definitely staying. I think, you know, this is his first season as the head coach at NIU, and granted, there was a lot of success, but he really did inherit a very senior-heavy team that, you know, got a lot of the key players that are the reason that they're 12-1 right now back. So I think with that, it would be a real leap for someone to go out and offer him, you know, a serious contract, like, you know, a $1.2 million contract at some school like Wake Forest or whatever, because you just don't really know at this point. He was really coaching someone else's team this season. I think he's definitely going to be in NIU for at least another season, maybe two more. But if he keeps winning like this, he's going to leave. It's just not right now.
Where would he possibly, like, where, I don't, I've looked up, like, where's his ties, anywhere he might go, or just kind of look to step up?
He used to, I can't remember when, but he used to coach at Wisconsin. So I could see him maybe getting, like, a Big Ten job if something like that opens up. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't see him going out west because he doesn't have any ties that I know of. I don't think he's ever coached anywhere out west. Yeah, I mean, he's, like, he's... Sorry, he played at Indiana and he coached at some small school in Wisconsin. But, I mean, he's definitely going to wind up being like a mid-American coach. Like, he's not going somewhere down south and he's not going somewhere out west. It'll probably be like a low-level Big 12 school or a low-level Big 10 school that offers him a job in a year or two.
Okay, I'm just kind of curious because we all know coaching stuff. When you get close, it's like, who's going where? And then, yeah, that Texas thing, however that dominoes fall, that'll be pretty crazy down the next probably month or so.
Well, I mean, I'm throwing my application in for that job, so.
Of course, there was that game, was it a game designer or video game guy to North Dakota University? Did you see that, Chris?
What?
About the guy who put his application, he like, plays video games, here's how I'd coach North Dakota?
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of did something similar to that as well.
That was that last year with some defense. I can just how I do my defense for some team.
Yeah, a defensive coordinator for Nevada.
Oh, that's right. Yes, Nevada.
There you go.
He did it last year. So
hey, I'm looking for jobs right now.
I know. Yes, Chris will play anywhere.
I just noticed that the assistant coach position just opened up at the University of Hawaii.
Well, there you go.
Linebackers man. Coach.
Defensive coordinator, linebackers coach, maybe offensive coach.
Yeah. We'll see how that goes. So, is there any last words, Chris, you want to mention about the game or anything closely related to the game, if possible?
Hey. well.
Good luck.
Good luck. Good luck to Northern Illinois. I'm sure they won't need it because this is I've been watching Northern Illinois for actually most of the season with my hours and hours of college football watching. And I do know that they're an extremely strong team. I definitely think this is going to be the best matchup of the Mountain West Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'm kind of curious to see how many people are going to be taking a Christmas vacation to San Diego from Chicago.
You should.
NIU doesn't seem to travel very well, so I'm not expecting a huge turnout of NIU fans down there, but... I don't know of a better place that they could go. So if they're going to go out to a bowl game, this is the one to go to.
Yeah. And I mean, typically, because I live in this general area, I live about an hour and a half from San Diego. And I know that either, for baseball games or for football games, a lot of the times the visitors, especially from the Midwest, will make the trip out here because it's warm.
Because it's warm.
Yeah, it's a break from the bitter cold that we deal with in here and the rapid change in weather. I mean, one day it'll be, 30 and nice, and the next day there's ice everywhere. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely get that it's a chance to escape. NIU is really not that good about traveling, and I hate to dog on a fan base in the MAC, but for the success that they've had, they kind of suck at it. And I just don't.
Call
them
out. Show up. Show up at the game, folks.
Yeah, I mean, Prove me wrong, but I wouldn't get my hopes up to see a lot of NIU fans out there.
I bet there'll be a decent one at Utah State because they're about 16-hour drive from there, I guess. I'm assuming. So I bet there'll be a decent amount of Utah State fans because they're about 2 hours from Salt Lake, and it's about 12 hours from there, too, or so, to Southern California. So I bet there could be a lot of Utah State people. I assume if they want to drive on Christmas Day to get down there, of course.
Yeah. I
may not be at the game.
You may or may not. And you may or may not be warm in the press box of the game if they like us this year. We'll see. But all right, we're done. We have nothing more to talk about unless we start rambling about whatever. So I'd like to thank you, Brian, for joining us for the Northern Illinois San Diego Poinsettia Bowl against Utah State. See how I almost screwed up there and kind of fixed it, and I pointed out now. For joining us from HustleBelt.com. So yeah, thanks a lot for joining us. Everybody go check out their website for Northern Illinois. Also, Buffalo. We got the Buffalo game playing in the Idaho Bowl against San Diego State. You'll have a little bit over there as well, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Yeah. Bull Run handles most of that stuff for us, but we try to take a little bit of a look at what, you know, Buffalo does.
Yeah. So it'll be a little bit there. Yeah. We'll be having the guys from Bull Run on as well. A bunch of shows upcoming week. So just, yeah, thanks for hanging out with us tonight, man.
Thanks for having me on, and go Huskies.
And once again, that was Brian Vance from HustleBelt.com. Excellent, excellent stuff. And yes, your expansion question was crazy with Wyoming to the Big 12.
Well, and once again, the whole reason why that even got brought up was just because I had a couple friends on Twitter, which I guess somebody had said something about hiring Craig Bull was going to get Wyoming in the Big 12 because that was their ultimate goal. And the only thing that I thought to myself was, how come, A, we haven't heard about this?
Because it's ridiculous, that's why. There should be nothing after A.
But B, is this something that Northern Illinois, because I kind of consider Northern Illinois a little bit like Boise State. And they would definitely do, you know, Boise State now in the Mountain West is all teams have, the top upper half of the team, the upper half of the conference has become a lot more competitive. The lower half, well, we still need to work on that. But Northern Illinois is kind of like it's a Boise State situation while Boise State was still in the WAC.
Correct. Almost. They're a step below, I'd say, because they haven't had the undefeated seasons.
Right. And so I kind of really wanted to ask and see where that kind of allied with, you know, possible conference expansion, you know, attracting themselves to other conferences.
So I actually have heard that, them to the Big 12. Like, that was a real thing, not just a made-up thing, like your Wyoming, what you're discussing. But it was actually, I remember hearing about, shoot, go for it. Because he does mention the basketball thing, and I immediately bring up TCU for the hoops thing, because their hoops is terrible there in Northern Illinois. But actually, let's give our predictions for the games. We didn't really do that. Who do you think is going to win this bowl game then?
I'm going to say the Utah State defense is going to step up. They're going to win this one 27-24.
Interesting, because we did see the Utah State defense against Derek Carr, and they still allowed him 400 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm like, because Jordan Lynch can throw. He's obviously not the same type of thrower Derek Carr is, but he can clearly take off and run and beat whoever he wants on the field, running the ball, rushing the ball for Northern Illinois. And I think I think if Utah State can, like he said, they come from all angles, like Brian mentioned, attack them from different various looks, which will be a smart thing to do. I seriously think if they can keep him on the ground more, that'll help Utah State more than allowing Lynch to throw the ball. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Because if he throws, sits back and throw, outside of the one player Utah State has in secondary, they don't really have, you know what I mean? It's Brian Sweet, and that's about it. And they've had issues throwing the ball. So if they can force Jordan Lynch to scramble, run, basically attack him quickly and from all angles, and that'll be good enough to do it. But I don't know, because this game's a 1.5-point spread. It's going to come down to the wire. I just don't know how good Utah State's offense is because they struggled against Fresno State, and they got 7 of their 17 was a defensive touchdown.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think I want to see Utah State just because they are not in a letdown mode. I hate saying that, too, because we always said it, too, when, like, Utah is in the BCS or Boise State or TCU. It's a letdown for whoever they're playing. I hate using that as an excuse, but there is some truth to that a little bit. But I think it's been a month. It's going to be – well, not even a month. It's only been, like, almost 3 weeks for when that title game was over. So it's sooner than going to a BCS, which is, like, 6 weeks away. They are playing a good team. I think Utah State might pull it off if they can force Jordan Lynch to run more than throw. Let him run for 250, but only throw for 125 or 100.
Exactly. I think we got to look at a total yardage situation.
Because Derek Carr devil, the yards, like, they could stop. Here's the thing, too. Utah State could stop the running attack, and I think they would be able to do that. They just can't sit back and let Lynch scramble and throw. Because if he scrambles, that's one thing, but can't scramble, do a roll, and let him throw like doing a run up and down the width of the field two or three times to find a guy open. That's impossible for anybody to cover. It doesn't matter how good your defense is. But they need to get to him quickly and often and not let him throw the ball, whether it's a sack or just stop him on the read option or the quarterback draw for nothing. That's kind of where it's going. I still think Northern Illinois is going to win, but it's going to be something really close.
Right.
Do you have any last words on this game?
Like I said, it's going to be a good one. So,
is there a new percentage update of if you'll be in attendance at this game?
No. In fact, the percentage may have gone down a little bit because, moving and everything like that.
Stuff happens. Okay, just wondering. So there's a small possibility we could have one of our persons in attendance for the Poinsettia Bowl game. So this is one of our many bowl previews. We'll have next our Las Vegas Bowl preview, Idaho Bowl preview, Hawaii Bowl preview, and eventually down the road we'll figure out how to do a Heart of Dallas Bowl preview. So check out the website, mwcconnection.com. Find our podcast on iTunes and anywhere else you can find podcasts. Just search Mountain West Connection, and we will talk to everybody sooner than later this time.